Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I believe you have a message for every person here. I believe that you are calling us to something really unique and really freeing. And I pray that you would give me the right words, that I would convey it correctly, and that you would open up our ears as people gathered here to hear exactly what you were telling us, so that we could live in a different way this week than we did last. Lord, may our hearts be open to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, some time ago, I found myself in a situation that pastors often find themselves in, which was at the bedside of someone who was breathing their last breaths. And I didn't know this person hardly at all, and so, you know, I know pastors are supposed to know how to handle this, but, I never do. So it gets kind of awkward real fast, and I say things like, well, is there something that I can do for you? Seems like a good thing, right? And I'm expecting the person to say, well, could you get me a glass of water, or could you make a phone call for me, or something along that line. But this person instead tells me, I used to be in ministry, and could you please pray that God would forgive me for not doing a better job in ministry? And my heart broke, because here's a man who is well on in years. I suspect he'd been out of ministry for at least a couple decades. And for those couple decades, at least, he carried guilt. Guilt. I could have done better. I should have done better. Why didn't I do better? And I bring that story to you not to depress you, but instead because I believe many of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, have felt that same thing, that sense of guilt, that sense that we're letting God down. We could have done better. We should have done better. Why didn't I do better? Why, we may look back on our lives with that same would have, could have, should have, and I should have been nicer to my first husband. I shouldn't have had that fight with my son. I should have kept my mouth shut about that confidential thing I was told. And so we live with regret and guilt. This message is called, this series, sorry, is about beyond religion. And religion thrives on guilt, thrives on regret. And I'm using religion in this way. Religion is a system of behavior created to prove our worth to God. Let me say that again. Just want you to absorb that, because this whole series is about this. Religion, as I'm defining it, is a system of behavior created to prove our worth to God. Guilt, or regret, is a great short-term motivator. Guilt might have brought you to the service today. I hope not, but it might have. Guilt can make you give money in the offering plate. Guilt can make you serve in the nursery. Guilt can make you sign that petition when it comes around. Guilt is a great short-term motivator. I was overhearing a conversation, I was actually having a conversation with a grandmother not that long ago, and her son and grandson showed up unexpectedly as I was speaking to her. And the grandson, who's like kind of baby toddler sort of age, began making strange around grandma. And that's when the grandmother spoke to me and said, oh, he doesn't like me that much because I hardly ever see him. You don't need a magnifying glass to read between those lines. Hello! You don't need to consult Google to go on that guilt trip. Well, this is my A jokes, people. I'm kidding. So, see, guilt, if you've lived in a home with guilt, anyone here lived in a home with guilt, where guilt was the prime motivator? Oh, some of you. Good. Yeah, me too. So you know, guilt can be very powerful. Can get you to do things. And the weight of guilt can be enormous. You can hit a midlife crisis and be worrying about all the things you should have done. Guilt can hit you when you're dealing with aging parents. What do you do with them? How do you care for them? You can experience guilt in the size of the inheritance that you're passing down, or your inability to serve due to health problems. It's all kinds of things that can hit you with guilt. I want to give you four signs that you live in guilt, especially religious guilt. Four signs that your faith is based around guilt. First of all, you believe God prefers punishing. You see God as angry, and he prefers the refreshing, cool taste of punishment. You believe that God is out to get you, that he's just waiting to punish you, to correct you. He's waiting for you to mess up. If you believe that God prefers punishing, you live in guilt. You believe God sees you as a failure. You see yourself as a good example of a bad example. And when we sing, like this morning, about God's love, well, we must be singing about someone else. Because you see yourself as the spotted sheep of the family, that you are separated from God's love. God doesn't just want to punish you, he just wants to ignore you. Bottom line, God doesn't love you. It's a sign you live in guilt. Number three, you believe your life is hopeless. Not just now, but always. And hell is an inevitability. Ellie King sings a song called Good Girls. And if you don't know who Ellie King is, that's okay. She sings a song called Good Girls. And the lyrics go like this. I do what the good girls don't. I do what the good girls should never, ever, never, ever do. Hey, 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 since I'm going to go to hell anyway, I'll go out with a bang, 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 crash and burn it all away. And that's the attitude. If you are hopeless, what's the point? If you're going to go to hell anyway, you might as well live for today. You might as well be as selfish as possible. You might as well do whatever you want to do. The bottom line here on number three is God can no longer save me. I'm beyond his help. If you believe that your life is hopeless, you live in religious guilt. Finally, number four, you like to show others how good you are. See, part of guilt is you are into feelings management at that point. That doing good things just alleviates the feeling of guilt. You are trying to prove your worth to God and to others. It's amazing how two people side by side can be doing good things for completely different reasons. One because they love God, the other one because they just want to feel better. So they'll join every cause that's possible. They have a hard time saying no, because they have to prove their worth to everyone. Bottom line here, God wants me to impress him. God needs me to impress him. And Jesus, here's the good news. Jesus came to free us from religious guilt. I have good news for all of you this morning, and I'm excited about it. Jesus came to free you from religious guilt. You don't have to prove yourself to God. You are not a failure, and you are not hopeless in God's eyes. Our mission statement is inviting people to follow Jesus. And that means, in part, doing what Jesus did. And that's why we're looking at his baptism this morning. We're looking at what he did. Because here's the thing I want you to remember. Beyond regret, beyond regret, beyond guilt, is renewal. And this is where Jesus started with his baptism. This is where we need to start this morning. If we're going to look at what did Jesus do, if we're going to invite people to follow Jesus, we better know what he did. And this incident of Jesus' baptism, I got to tell you right up front, it's weird. If you've ever thought about it, it is weird. And I've been a follower of Jesus since I was 8 years old. This is weird. I look at this situation of Jesus getting baptized, and there's a lot of questions here. But before I get into it, you need to know a little bit of background about baptism. See, baptism in the first century was practiced mostly by Gentiles, that's non-Jews, who were becoming converts to Judaism. So it was a way of washing away their sin. They would come and they'd get baptized and they'd become Jews. But as things got closer and closer to when Jesus came, the fervor around the idea that a Messiah was coming made a lot of Jews decide that they wanted to be ready for when the Messiah came. They wanted to have their best foot forward. So they wanted to get baptized, cleanse themselves of their sin for this coming king who's going to overthrow the Romans and all that sort of thing. It's sort of like they were putting on their best suit for a job interview. So they decided to get baptized, get ready for this coming Messiah. And then comes along John the Baptist, who happens to be Jesus' cousin. He is the last prophet of the Old Covenant. You might look at, if you see a Bible, you see Old Testament, that's the Old Covenant, the Old Agreement. And in Matthew chapter 3, John says why he's baptizing and what this is all about. He says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. Now, this is really important because the whole message is based around this. I baptize with water those who repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to God. So important, both of those things. And that is why Jesus getting baptized is so weird. Here we go. Let's take a look at it. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Now that's just a sentence to us, but that's a 100-kilometer walk for Jesus. You walked 100 kilometers lately? This was really important to Jesus that he do this. He walked all the way from Galilee down to the Jordan River. 100 clicks. Walk, walk, walk. Several days. This was so important that he made this grand walk. Let that soak in for 1 second. Then, but John tried to talk him out of it. Even John thought this was weird. John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? If anyone needed their sins washed away, it had to be John. Because compared to Jesus, who is perfect, Jesus didn't need to get baptized. What sins was Jesus washing away after all? Why in the world would Jesus want to get baptized? Jesus was the only person who walked on the planet who never lied, never stole anything, was never judgmental, never gossiped, never had sin in his heart, and he's coming to be baptized. Don't you think that's weird? I do. He continues, but Jesus said, it should be done. Why? For we must carry out all that God requires. Now that explanation obviously worked for John, because John agreed to baptize him. But that explanation didn't work for me. I didn't get it. Do you get it? I had to do some digging. Maybe you're smarter than me. Congratulations, that's good. But I had to do some digging. For we must carry out all that God requires was not an explanation to me that I understood. But in doing some digging, I found out that Jesus was talking about a much bigger picture. See, God requires repentance. And Jesus was modeling God's requirements. You and I have to repent. That is an internal thing. We do that on the inside. And Jesus, right at the beginning of his ministry, he said, if you want to follow me, this is where you start. If you're going to follow my example, this is where you start. This is a proper response to sin. You repent and you turn to God. That's what baptism is about. So he goes and he gets baptism. He was modeling in a physical way what needs to happen to you and I in a spiritual way, on an internal way. So, of course, Jesus didn't need to repent internally. He just showed this is a proper response to sin. Now, religion works at your guilt. Religion says, serve more, give more, behave better. Try to convince God of your worthiness. Jesus did away with guilt altogether. He allowed us to let go of the idea that we can make this right. I can earn God's approval. And remember, why did John baptize? Remember, he said there was two things. So that he baptized those who repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to God. This is key. Religion is about guilt, regret, and lots of people have that. You don't have to go to church to feel regret about things that you've done. Lots of people feel regret. They look back at their lives and they go, man, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't told that lie. I wish I hadn't been so judgmental. I wish I hadn't been so selfish. But just feeling regret doesn't get you anywhere. Because feeling bad is not what Jesus required. It's not what God requires. And Jesus wants us to go beyond our regret. And beyond regret, of course, is renewal. John's baptism is about repentance and turning to God. But just regret leaves you powerless to change. You can feel bad. Lots of people feel bad, and they may want to change, and they can't. Talk to almost any addict. Do they really want to be addicted? No. Can they stop? No. Talk to people who struggle with anger or judgmentalism or gossip, and they can feel bad about it, but does that give them the power to change? No. So you get baptized, you feel regret, and then you're supposed to turn to what? Well, we see here we're supposed to turn to God, but others might turn to exercise, greater effort, longer meditation, Netflix, something. May feel bad, turn to what? Now, I'm going to dig down a little here. See, sin, guilt, regret weighs us down. That is half of baptism. It's the part that kills us. Right from the very first chapter, we are told in the Bible that sin will kill us. It will weigh us down. And religion, that man-made system, that human-made system, just makes us sink deeper into guilt and regret that we can never get out of. And like that minister that I talked about earlier, we just live with regret. We might be able to relate to that Ellie King song, I'm gonna go to hell anyway. And we feel the weight of it. So we must turn to God to let him take that weight off. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why do you have someone baptize you? I mean, Jesus could have just walked into the Jordan River and plunged in. Could have dived head first if he wanted to. And said, hey, now I'm baptized. All right, whew, got that taken care of. Why is it that even today in the church, people don't baptize themselves? Someone else does that. Ever wonder why that is? It's very symbolic. Because just as you and I can't save ourselves. We need God to save us. So, here's the interesting thing about baptism. The weight of our guilt comes from God's justice. And by the way, we only like God's justice when it comes to other people. We couldn't possibly live in a world where God was not just when it comes to other people. We're just kind of concerned about God's justice when it comes to us, right? And God just can't let it go and say, ah, it's no big deal. We wouldn't expect that. We wouldn't expect judges to do that. Why would we expect God to do that? So the weight of our guilt pushes us down and it kills us. Now, I have to admit, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I've done a lot of baptisms in my life, and sometimes they don't go down. Sometimes they need a little extra push. I don't know if people are just super floaty, or if they actually like push against me, they're afraid of the water or whatever, but I push them down. I don't even feel bad about it. Now, if I sense they're scared of the water or whatever, I'll let them float, and I think God's okay with that. But it is God's justice that pushes us all the way down, where we feel the full weight of our guilt before Him. But isn't it good news that God doesn't just leave us there to drown? Instead, in His love, He lifts us up out of death, out of the water, to renewal. Isn't that beautiful? That is baptism. That is why someone baptizes you. It is symbolic that you cannot do this on your own. Jesus is the one who displayed on the cross God's justice and His love. God's justice takes us under the water. His love takes us back up out of the water. And again, you want to know what God wants? He says in Acts 17, God commands everyone, everywhere. Okay, I think this applies to you. God commands everyone, everywhere. I think that applies to all of us. To repent of their sins, turn away from their sins, and turn to Him. Not just repent, but to turn to Him. For He has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man He has appointed, and He proved to everyone who this is by raising Him from the dead. God wants us to repent, to turn away from our sin, and to turn to God. And some of us in this room have not. Some of us in this room are more familiar with religion, of guilt management. And we feel condemned. We feel that God is angry with us. We feel that God is not pleased with us. We live in a constant state of guilt, the very thing that Jesus came to free us from. So what can we do? Here are the steps that we can do, and this is so powerful. I hope that all of us remember this, because if we are inviting people to follow Jesus, we have to invite them to do these three things. Recognize the weight of guilt. This, by the way, is difficult. Some people like to not go under the water. They are convinced, I am a good person. Oh, I might have done the odd thing wrong, but compared to everyone else, I'm pretty good. But we, of course, are not to compare ourselves to other people. We are to compare ourselves to the perfect Jesus. That is very sobering for me. Because I look at Jesus and I go, I'm nowhere near as good as Jesus. Recognize the weight of your guilt. Go past the denial of, I'm not that bad, or I'm a good person. All of us have broken God's law of love. Love is the highest law. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have put yourself in front of others? Some of you are thinking about this way too hard. Have you ever put yourself ahead of others? If you have, you have broken God's law of love. You are guilty. You've broken the highest law. Some of us don't recognize the weight of that guilt. We're still in denial. We're still trying to counter these things. It's not just other people who are guilty. It is me. It is you. Second thing, beyond recognize the weight of guilt, go all the way under the water. Leave that guilt at the cross. And this I mean in a legal sense. All the charges against you are to be transferred to the cross. They have to be. They have to be. Now, how do you know? What is the sign that you have actually transferred your guilt over to Jesus at the cross? One thing that I know for sure, if you actually transferred your guilt over to Jesus at the cross, you will be filled with an incredible sense of gratitude. Gratitude. But it's depending on the first one. Did you allow yourself to feel the full weight of your guilt? Because if you didn't, then Jesus dying on a cross for you, transferring your guilt, is sort of, well, that's good, I guess. But if you recognize how far from God your inner thoughts are, your behavior has been, when you recognize how deplorable, how despicable it is to put yourself in front of others, and you recognize that weight of guilt, when you leave that guilt at the cross, you will feel incredible gratitude for what God has done for you. Beyond regret is renewal. Beyond guilt is gratitude. The less weight you feel, the less gratitude you will experience. Finally, number three, what can we do? Live in need of God. Remember, it's not just repent. It is repent and turn to God. You have to turn to Him. He's the only one that can renew you. He's the only one that can help you not continue the pattern of sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent. He gets you out of that. And He can help you become a completely different person, transforming you by the power of the Spirit. And when we invite people to follow Jesus, we have to invite them not to religious guilt, but we have to let them recognize the weight of their guilt, leave that guilt at the cross, and to live in need of God. They have to live in need of God, just as you and I do. Jesus modeled this as well. I'm amazed at how many times in the accounts of Jesus' life he talked about how he relied on the Father, how he relied on the Spirit to do what he did. He modeled everything for us, for our sakes. Even his baptism was for our sakes. Religion deals in guilt, that you can fix it, you can make it better, you can prove your worth, that you can be good on your own. But our calling is to be away from guilt, to acknowledge the weight of our guilt, to repent and turn to God, and leave our guilt there. One of our values as a church is inner transformation over outer management, which means we value what God does, that renewal on the inside, more than the religion of just managing our behavior, managing our words. Don't watch this. Don't listen to that. Don't go here. Don't talk to those people. Don't wear this. Don't say that. It's all guilt management, proving our worth. and it feeds our sense of self-righteousness. Religion says, I obey, so God will accept me. I obey, so God will accept me. But following Jesus says, God has accepted me because of Jesus, therefore I obey. Beyond regret is renewal. And some of us here have experienced more religion than Jesus. Some of us grew up where guilt was the main currency, perhaps, in your home, in your work, in your church, in your relationship with God. And what I want for you this morning is to move beyond that guilt, beyond regret, and become renewed by God. Following Jesus, here's the great thing. Following Jesus is not about impressing God. You have nothing to impress God about. He's very impressed with Jesus already. And when you become a follower of Jesus, all he sees is his son. And all the good things that Jesus did have been transferred to you. Isn't that great? All his perfection transferred to you so that you don't have to live like that minister that I talked about for decades saying, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And you certainly don't have to live like Ellie King going, well, I'm going to hell anyway. Jesus went beyond religion. Following Jesus is not about guilt management. It is about guilt removal. Following Jesus is not about guilt management. It's about guilt removal. Religion won't change your life, but inner transformation by God will when you repent and turn to God. That's when renewal happens. And I invite you, if you haven't taken those three steps yet, if you have not yet recognized the weight of your guilt, if you have not left that guilt at the cross, and if you do not live in need of God, I'm going to pray for you. As our music team comes forward, final song, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I sense there are people in this room who definitely need to leave their guilt behind. That they have lived their lives dealing in incredible guilt, where they believe that you are all about punishment, or they think that you see them as a failure, or that their lives are hopeless, or that they need to impress you and impress others to show how worthy they are. Lord, may you free them from that guilt. May you help them live in the freedom that we've already sung about this morning, that we've already talked about this morning. God, may there be tremendous freedom in this church. May the good news of Jesus actually be good news. And not just a placement of guilt. Lord, may we let the weight of our guilt, may we feel that fully. May we leave it at the cross. And may we allow you to lift us up out of those baptism waters to renewal and new life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross that frees us from our guilt, that frees us from having to impress you or impress others. God, and we can just bask in your forgiveness and your grace. And we know that you don't accept us because of our obedience. You accept us because of Jesus Christ, and therefore we obey. Lord, for those of us in this room who have already taken the step of letting our weight, the weight of our guilt, be felt, leaving it at the cross, and then living for you, turning to you. God, you are our great Redeemer. You make our load light. and we praise you and we worship you. You are our very life. We cannot imagine life without you. For those in this room who have not taken those steps, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage to come forward, either in their chair or coming up here, whatever it may be, even in their home after the service, and taking those steps. Lord, may you free them from guilt, free them from regret, and into renewal. We pray it in the name of Jesus, our powerful Savior, who's doing this all around the world today. Amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, our prayer team's going to be up here ready to pray with you. Other than that, God bless you. Have a great week.